Midwives Association calls for the cancellation of certificate and diploma nursing programs as a push for the elevation of all nursing education to the degree level.
That's because, bold. Yes, it's a bold decision, and we need to do that. When you go to next door Nigeria, anybody present as a registered nurse or midwife has a first degree.
We'll hear from the association as it maintains the nursing training allowance should not be scrapped by the next administration. Also, we'll hear from stakeholders in the health sector on the Joy News Manifesto series, including a push for up to 5% of Ghana's oil revenue being allocated to combating diseases and retaining health professionals.
We are proposing that at least between 2 to 5% of our oil revenue should be directed towards health.
The worst government that has disabused our approach to the Abuja Declaration has been the Akufo-Addo's government since 2017.
Also tonight, NDC flabberer John Mahama calls for vigilance following Fitch Solutions' prediction that the NDC is in a comfortable lead in the upcoming December polls. He's been taking on the MPP for comparing President Akufo-Addo with Kwame Nkrumah. We hear from the party itself.
The most recent survey showing 54% of respondents favoring the NDC, as you can see the right-hand side art.
He is winning the election. Period. Nothing. You can't tell us anything. That is the fact.
He has failed us. He has failed us. Like F9 failed. F9 failed. Failed. Not even E8. F9 failed.
We'll hear from the MPP as they react to that Fitch Solution report. Also tonight, local government minister orders contractors working on the new Malam Market to rework on facility at their own cost following concerns that the job was shoddy.
We need to immediately redo virtually everything. The entire thing as it stands there is rejected. Government will not bear a pencil out of this shoddy work done. It will not happen, not in my ministry.
But the engineers who worked on the facility, they are refuting the minister's claims.
We have tests, we perform tests on our materials. So you may see a material that may not look good to you, but depending on the lab test results, you then can conclude definitely that they are not good enough.
In business, Ghana Private Road Transport Union tells public to disregard reports of fares going up by 15% from Monday, insisting it hasn't sanctioned any increases.
And as well as Ghana's Olympic team ramps up preparations for the Olympic Games, but says they cannot guarantee medals with the Games set to start in 7 days.
Now, you want to stay with us here on News Night. I want to also bring in your views, 055-111-1997. My name is Evans Mensah. And tonight, the Ghana Registered Nurses and Midwives Association is asking all political parties seeking their votes this year to commit to cancel certificate and diploma nursing programs to improve the quality of nurses produced for hospitals across the country. 60% of the nurses in the country are either diploma or certificate holders. But speaking on the PM Express Special Edition, the Health Manifesto, the General Secretary of the GRNA, Dr. David Tinkran-Chum, said the entry level to the practice should be through the degree route.
It's abound with how baccalaureates, highly trained nurses and midwives, has the propensity of reducing mortality. 10% increase in baccalaureate education of nursing is able to reduce mortality by 10.9%.
What's the current picture?
The current picture is bizarre. In Ghana, nursing is the only profession in Ghana that we have three levels of entry, okay? Almost 60% of our nursing have a workforce are auxiliary. And we think that that's not the way to go. Mm. We think that majority must be degree prepared. So we have to cancel certificate programs, we have to cancel diploma programs, and train nurses and midwives at a degree level.
That's bold.
Precisely.
Cancel programs, cancel diploma programs, and just do Bachelor of Arts.
Bachelor of Nursing degrees.
And then you do the master's and what?
Precisely.
That's bold.
Yes, it's a bold decision, and we need to do that. When you go to next door Nigeria, anybody present as a registered nurse or midwife has a first degree. That's where it starts.
Nigeria is doing
precisely.
It.
Precisely. And we could do better than them. We have the human resource, we have this that can do that.
And please help me appreciate, as we speak, and this is brief, because now that you've narrowed down, I like the numbers, because that it helps you picture it. What's the share in terms of the nurses you currently have coming out into the health field? What's the share you get from those from certificate and diploma and those who are in?
Okay, currently the diplomas account for about, the diploma, or if you like, the auxiliary nurses,
yes.
Okay, account for about 60%.
60?
Precisely. And then the professional nurses account about 40%.
So what imagine
in Ghana, the diploma level trained and the degree level trained nurses and midwives are professional nurses.
Well, he proposed that colleges of education should create an avenue for the diploma and certificate nurses who will be phased out by the new policy.
Research is abound, okay, on how highly skilled, prepared nursing workforce or midwifery workforce.
So what you're suggesting, for example, that 60%, if you cancel certificate and diploma, what happens to them?
Okay, so if we cancel the training of diploma and certificate, we can upgrade the knowledge of those who are here. And they are actually doing that. We have access calls that is churning out, or if you like, upgrading the knowledge of those in certificate diploma to degree preparedness and midwife. So that can be done. So they will not be abandoned in that order. Previously, you had to go back to better your grades and stuff like that before you can even improve. But now there is an access course, a break course that helps you to be able to upgrade your knowledge and skill to get to the degree.
But what it also means is that number of nurses you're training now will significantly be reduced.
No, it's not about producing, it's about retention. You see, I said earlier on that we think that we have to train and train and train. To me, it doesn't make sense. What makes sense is how to be able to retain the few that you have trained. If they have very poor working conditions, they will leave. And about those who are leaving are the creme de la creme. For instance, they work for 5 years, they work for incompetences and proficiency, and they leave. If you replace them with numbers, it will not satisfy the demands. Because see,
well, the vice president of the Ghana Medical Association, Professor Ernest York, is demanding the decapping of the National Health Insurance Funds.
The health financing, that is the premise. The strategies will be there, but it is important. And I'm going to be controversial before I end. You know, Kwame talked about, you know, the consequences or the effect of the delayed releases in tariffs, the monies that all the health institutions, including the pharmacy outlets and all that, and that is driving out of pocket payments and substandard care. But we are seeing that the issue of capping of the collected fund of insurance scheme and authority must stop. And we want genuine commitment from all these parties to say that when we come, we will remove the capping and decap them. Because you see, even the amount that is decapped is not released in a timely manner or in timely manner. Now, the decapping amount is a lot. That could improve these health indices that we're describing. So we want firm commitment from all the parties that when they come to power or we entrust the mandate of this country into their hands, they are going to remove this. And I will urge all my colleagues on this platform this night, the nurses, the pharmacists, and everybody involved in healthcare, let's all come together and demand that the decapping of the collections of the nurses.
Well, we also had on the program the Pharmaceutical Society of Ghana. The vice president of the society was on Dr. Kwabena Asante-Ofer, who says the political parties must commit to support local manufacturers to upgrade their production capacity to produce critical medicines for the sub-region.
Another thing that we think is a huge advantage to our country is the issue of local pharmaceutical manufacturing. Mm. And that's the second point we have been making.
Okay, briefly, because that is important. That is important. Yeah. What is the proposal led to the parties?
That we should target that by the time the term is over, we have X number of local...
Don't say X. Manifestos. Kwame has admonished us.
Yeah.
It needs to be measurable.
Yes, it has
so
to be.
So what is it that you propose to them?
So we have two proposals on that. One, okay. We have five local pharmaceutical manufacturing facilities that have the capability to manufacture, I don't know how to put it, medicines that can be used for HIV and AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis. Because you see,
just clarify, you're saying that you already have, or you're saying that whichever party wins must have a manifesto that says I'll deliver on at least five institutions that can manufacture this?
Yes.
By the end of your 4 years?
Yes.
Okay. That's what you're demanding from them.
And this is the concept. context of that.
Very briefly.
As Kwame was presenting, about 90% of malaria bedding is in Africa. 75% of HIV bedding is in Africa. But where are we getting the medicines to treat these medicines from? The Global Fund purchases these medicines. Where do they purchase it from? They don't purchase from Ghana or Nigeria. They purchase from factories that are outside of the country because they have to meet a certain criteria. Now, that is the whole conversation. Can we have five of our companies supported to be able to elevate their manufacturing to that level where they will qualify to get a contract from
so they can manufacture it here
and then make it available to people in the sub-Saharan Africa?
That makes sense indeed. Yeah. Well, there's also a demand now by all the stakeholders on that particular show last night for government to increase the funding that they put into the health sector. For the Ghana Registered Nurses Association, they want at least up to 5% of Ghana's oil revenues allocated to the health sector. Listen to Dr. David Tinkrang-Chum, who emphasized that without this funding, the country will risk a crisis.
We think that we need to set aside at least 2% or more of the oil revenue into the National Health Insurance Scheme. You have to take bold and decisive decisions when it comes to the health sector. And I think that we have to take very calculative and bold decisions in providing a financing to the health sector. And we are proposing that at least between 2 to 5% of our oil revenue should be directed towards health.
Nursing training allowance. Where are you on that?
No, it ought to be maintained. People don't understand. There's not just money being doled out to student nurses, all right? A study was carried out in 2014, and we found out that 40% of nursing services that are rendered in our various health facilities are performed by student nurses. So it's a form of compensation for what they do. So, I mean, it was cancelled, and later it was replaced, but we are having difficulties of payment, not only allowances, like especially those who are doing rotation, as I speak to you. I think they've done 11 months, they've not been paid, and all that.
Maintain it is the point. Well, we also heard from a CDD fellow on health, Dr. Kwame Sapansiru, who, by the way, delivered that paper detailing what the health manifestos must look like, and the parties are preparing to put out the manifestos in August. And he paints a devastating picture of the current health sector, demands that the government commits to the Abuja Declaration. In fact, the political parties must put that as part of the final print when the manifestos come out, requiring government to invest up to 15% of his revenue in health.
We need to, at a minimum, be doing the Abuja Declaration. We signed it.
Which is 15%.
It was signed by... Look, you know the irony of our politics. The Abuja Declaration was signed in 2001 by President Kufuor. The worst government that has disabused our approach to the Abuja Declaration has been an Akufo-Addo's government since 2017. How does that make sense? The people who committed us to the declaration are the worst defaulters. It's not like the NDC were any closer, but I'm trying to say, if you have your president sign it, then you would be more
committed to it.
What you call committed. The same thing when it comes to health migration. The FPP signed the Kampala Declaration in 2008. The review was held in Ghana in 2009 when the NDC are taking over. The two political parties who committed Ghana to it have all defaulted.
And that there is Kwame Sapansiru. I want to hear from you, especially if you're a nurse and you're in one of the training institutions where you're obviously studying for a certificate or a diploma. You've heard your association say the parties must commit to scrapping the certificate and diploma courses and only train nurses through the degree route. I want to hear from you. 0551111997. We'll hear from the nursing trainees pretty shortly as they've begun to engage what the various stakeholders are beginning to put before the political parties as they engage them towards the finalization of that manifesto, which we expect both the NDC and the MPP to be adoring in August. This is your election headquarters. And this is your election headquarters. And sounds of some students at the University of Ghana singing as they welcome the NDC flag bearer John Mahama to their campus just hours after international research and data firm Fitch Solutions predicted a likely win for the party in the December elections. The London-based firm, which has been consistent with its forecast since last year, argues that 54% of respondents surveyed tipped NDC candidate John Mahama to win in the upcoming presidential elections. So Mike Kruniger is an associate director, Country Risk, at Fitch Solutions, and has been speaking on the media review for Sub-Saharan Africa.
We believe that the opposition National Democratic Congress, or NDC, has a stronger chance of winning the upcoming general election compared to the ruling party, the ruling New Patriotic Party, NPP. So recent polls consistently placed the NDC ahead, with the most recent survey showing 54% of respondents favoring the NDC, as you can see the right-hand side art. In addition, multiple surveys have shown that economic management and job creation are going to be the most important issues during the election for voters, which we believe will put the ruling NPP at a disadvantage given the economic challenges that the country has faced over the last couple of years.
Well, this has generated a fair bit of controversy. Fitch Solutions, however, says a policy direction of the country will not change even under an NDC administration.
In terms of what a government change will mean for the economy, we think that policy direction under a likely NDC government would remain largely unchanged, really. The NDC would most likely stick to Ghana's IMF program as well as fiscal consolidation, particularly as the party has shown commitment in the past to international agreements and obligations. So in summary, we expect broad policy continuity in Ghana despite a likely government change.
Well, some first-time voters of the University of Ghana who have been speaking to John, you say they're not surprised by the prediction. They cite general hardship and what they describe as economic mismanagement as reasons.
He is winning the election. Period. Nothing. You can't tell us anything. That is the fact. We are choosing experience. You understand? That is the fact. Nobody can tell us anything. There is a man whose record has lived before him. You understand? And that is what Ghanaians want. We don't want people who can talk. You understand? We want people who can do the work. And that is JM for you. He has won. Hands down.
What was her name?
Miriam. Because he has lived before. He has done the work before, you understand? In his time, yes, we are not saying he is perfect. We are telling you that this is a man whose records speak after him. This is a man that when you give the nation to him, he won't tell you that this is that. He is living after it. You give him the work, he shows you this is what I have done.
He's an excellent leader. He's done it before, he will do it again. And there is proof. We don't talk, we don't gibberish. We show working. And he's going to win the elections. He's going to do it. And he's going to do it again. I believe in him. Obi Kasa, Ovim, no, the Kasa, no. The current government has failed us. He has failed us. He has failed us. Like F9 failed.
F9 failed. Failed. Not even E8. F9 failed. They have failed us miserably.
Well, we've been hearing today from the Bawumia campaign team reacting to the Fitch Solutions survey. Dennis Miracles Abuaje is hopeful the MPP will pull through in December.
As we speak, we are in the five northern regions campaigning. And so we get to the polls and we get to the ballot on 7th of December. We believe that we have a responsibility to ensure that the Ghanaian voter has a reason to vote for us. And that's what we are doing.
A key concern they raise in this report that you would be defeated by the NDC because of the performance of the city. How do you plan to work things out as you move to the polls?
That's the conversation that we are having with the people of Ghana. Our job is to ensure that we manage economy and all of its related issues in a way and manner that will be quite satisfactory to the people of Ghana. At least when they get to the point they have to make a decision, they can run some proper comparative analysis between us and the opponent and make the choice. Like I said, we have about 4 to 5 months to elections. We are working at it. You can see a lot of improvement as compared to about 8 or 9 months ago. Today, inflation is around 23. It used to be about 54%. And that clearly tells you that there's some work being put into it. And every day, government's responsibility is to turn things around and make sure that we see progress you know, in the lives of the people.
Well, my colleague Marcel Abagba is embedded with the John Mahama campaign as the tall Greater Accra. He joins me right now. Maxwell, the NDC flag bearer, he's been criticizing the MPP running mate's comparison of President Akufo-Addo with Dr. Kwame Nkrumah. What exactly did he say?
Well, Evan, he made the remark during his tour of the IOC West constituency, where he has been interacting with traditional leaders, clergy, and students of the University of Ghana. Now, speaking at a mini deba at La Coalition, he said it is an undeniable fact the country is facing its worst economic crisis in a generation, with food prices skyrocketing daily, depreciation of the Ghana cedi against major trading currencies, and unemployment, which he said has hit the roof. He says these are indicators of poor governance and mismanagement of the economy. He says the comparison means the NPP is oblivious of current happenings and has lost touch with the people.
And so please, the party has asked for people who want to volunteer to be trained as party agents. Kindly make sure that you send your best people. What I said was that preferably, if we can find them, we want people with a tertiary education. I didn't say we are recruiting only people with a tertiary education. I said preferably, we want people with a tertiary education. But there are people who probably are in SHS who are bright and can be trained to be electoral agents. Having said, we should refuse them. What I'm saying is that the election today is more complicated than it was in the past. In the past, we needed people to sit there to prevent imposters. Now the issue of imposters is resolved by the biometric verification machine. But you must have somebody who can understand that the number on the biometric verification machine must be the same as the number of ballots in the box. And when you're filling the they are filling the pink sheets, you must see it's like algebra. C5 plus A4 plus 3 must be equal to this. If you don't have the know-how, there's no way you're going to understand when those figures are put on the pink sheet. And that's what I'm saying. Preferably, if we can find people with a tertiary education, or people who don't have a tertiary education but have the cognitive sense to be able to decipher the pink sheets and be able to train as proper polling agents, let's find those people. And so all of you who are accountants, all of you who are architects, all of you who are professionals, let us know the polling station where you vote, so that on that day you are not just going to vote and go away. You will vote and sit there until you have malaria. When you know that you have malaria, then you're halfway towards curing yourself of malaria. But it appears that those in charge of this country do not even appreciate the economic crisis in which we are. Because if Ghana is going through the severest economic crisis it has ever faced in the history of this country, and people in this government can tell us to say thank you to them and to praise them as the best government in the history of this country, then they've got it all wrong, completely wrong. And so, one, they have no clue what we're going through. It means that the government is out of touch with reality. The reality that they talk about is not the same reality you are facing, where you have to do 010 or 001 or 100. And the extreme case is 000. And the statistics will support it. Because the Statistical Service has said that 8 million Ghanaians went one day without food because they couldn't afford it. And so if somebody comes and tells you that in these circumstances, they are the best government in the history of Ghana from Nkrumah's time, then they've got it completely wrong. But the day of rescue is coming. And that is why we have a democracy. The good thing about democracy is if things are not going well, and the government is insensitive to your plight, every 4 years you have the right to change the government. It's not the same in unconstitutional governments. And so we're happy that we have a democracy, and come December 7th, we have the opportunity to exercise our right to decide whether a government continues or not. And so I urge all of you, I know you are all registered voters, those who have not registered yet,
And Maxwell, the former president also visited his former room at the Commonwealth Hall?
Exactly, Evans. He visited his former room, 836, at the Commonwealth Hall, where he interacted with students there. Many of them came out of their rooms to welcome him. And after visiting, he has been reminiscing about, you know, the good times that he had at the Commonwealth Hall. When he was interacting with students at the University of Ghana, intermittently, he would have to stop midway his speech because the residents of Commonwealth Hall, who had come there to welcome him as a former member, of the hall, wouldn't allow him to go on with his speech. And often he would have to beg them to stop singing so that he can continue making his point.
And he's been to Adenta too. He's been campaigning there.
Exactly. He has been campaigning at the University of Ghana. After that, he went to the Adenta constituency. He just finished that some minutes ago. In Adenta constituency, he met traditional leaders and the clergy. He said he'll set up a commission of inquiry to investigate and return looted state lands. There were concerns about the cost of embarking on the Hajj pilgrimage, which some of the people he met said they pay as much as 75,000 Ghana cedis. He says if he is elected as president, he'll ensure there's a reduction. At Adenta Market, he talked about establishing a national women's bank to give women soft loans to enable them to trade with it, and said they'll be establishing branches at various markets, including the Adenta Market. He has since wrapped up with the tours of the two constituencies, the ISO West Wagon constituency and the Adenta constituency. He'll be resting tomorrow, and then a walk will happen on Saturday.
Well, the Bamia campaign is also touring the northern regions. So we'll be hearing from them pretty shortly. But George Afe is joining me right now with business. Hello, George.
Hi, Evans. And coming up in business, the Ghana Private Road Transport Union tells public to disregard reports of fares going up by 15% from Monday, insisting it hasn't sanctioned any increases. Then Cocoa Board to be stopped from financing cocoa roads and fertilizer purchase program as government takes steps to restructure the institution. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery, Synthes Tanks and Pepsodent Herbal and Charcoal.
Exhibition of the register.
Attention Ghana, the Electoral Commission will from Tuesday 20th August to Tuesday 27th August 2024 display the voters register across all polling stations throughout the country between the hours of 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. each day. This is your chance to verify your personal details, confirm your polling station, ensure no unqualified persons are on the register, and remove names of deceased individuals by providing death certificates, burial permits and obituary notices. As proof of death, registered voters must appear in person with their ID card or registration slips. You can also check your details by dialing *711*51#. Objections to names on the register can be made on the grounds that the person is a minor, foreigner, not of a sound mind, impersonating another person, or not residing in the area where he or she registered. Applicants have the opportunity to object to the inclusion of their names on the exception or multiple registration lists. Remember, the exhibition of the voters register will start from Tuesday 20th August to Tuesday 27th August 2024. The register will be displayed at all polling stations across the country from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. each day. Your vote is your future.
Son, we are so proud of you for setting up this hospital. I really love those hospital beds and waiting chairs. By the way, did you import them?
No, Dad, I didn't. I actually got them from Kindle Books and Stationery right here in Ghana.
Wow. We also bought our office supplies, safes, executive desks and chairs from Kingdom, and they gave us expert advice on how to set up our office.
Guys, that makes three of us. I also got our sofa and bedroom sets, plus our dining hall furniture for our new home from Kingdom.
Wow, Mom, that makes four of us. I usually get my stationery items from Kingdom.
well.
And my teacher also mentioned that our classroom furniture was provided by Kingdom.
So there you have it. Whenever you're thinking about setting up an office or acquiring furniture for your home, etc., Kingdom Books and Stationery should be your first point of call. With over 40 years' experience in the industry, we stock and supply a wide variety of globally sourced office and home furniture, stationery and equipment. Visit our head office, Osu Akwaje, or our office near the Osu Stadium. We're also in Tema Community 1, opposite Olam SHS, Kumasi KNUSD Campus, UCC Cape Coast, and now at the Marina Mall, Airport City. Or call us 0302-764101, 764209, or 762792. Visit our website, www.kingdomgh.com.
Hey, so as for you, every day you are just pressing your phone. Why? Are they paying you?
They are, Oma.
Eh?
The more I use my MTN, the more points I get. And I can use those points to get airtime, data, and even discounts at shops and restaurants.
Hey, so that is why all of you are always pressing your phones. And you won't tell us, so that way too we can enjoy some.
Oh, Oma.
There's always more to enjoy with MTN Rewards. Just keep talking, testing, and browsing all day, every day to collect your points and use it to redeem amazing offers and discounted freebies right away. There's so much available for you. So dial *550# and get your reward today. Let's go everywhere you go.
Kweku, have you heard what they are doing on MTN?
We have a new leader in town, Obiarentie. Amafo, mida mwa sibibri. When you say mabeyi, maybe mamu more charcoal for whiter teeth.
More charcoal.
Not only that, maybe mamu lemon.
More lemon.
Zinc for fresher breath.
More zinc.
And fluoride for stronger teeth.
Hey. Introducing the new President Charcoal Pack with more power with a combination of charcoal and lemon for naturally whiter teeth. Grab yours now. This advert is FDA approved.
The luckiest
*712#.
Luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah.
Here's to the friends who dialed *712# and found no regrets. To the investors who struck gold. To the health workers who diagnosed luck with precision. To the tough guy who couldn't hold back his tears. To the passionate fan who couldn't contain his joy. To the seamstress who turned her hard-earned stitches into a bundle of happiness. And now, here's to you. Your next big win is right here.
Luck is everywhere.
Dial *712# now. Join in the luckiest winning celebration every 1st July 2024. Over dial *712# now. Akoswa to ticket no as a group, individual, and as a, even as a community. Now win is the card cashier. Prizes are cashier in the community draw or go for the grand draw on the 30th of November 2024. Unlock your luck with *712#. Now join in the winning streak now.
The luckiest
*712#.
Luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah, the luckiest.
You're welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, the Ghana Private Road Transport Union is rejecting reports that it has sanctioned fares going up from Monday, that is Monday next week. Now, it follows report that the union will also join concerned drivers to adjust fares from next Monday. Samuel Amwa is the Deputy Public Relations Officer for the Ghana Private Road Transport Union.
Before we come out with the price or transport fare increment, we have some certain component that we used to consider before we also think of increasing transport fares. Those components are the spare parts, the lubricant, the taxes, and the petroleum product. Yes, we agreed that petroleum product has gone a bit high, spare parts has gone high a bit, the lubricant, battery, and other, you know, component that we used to run our business, they've gone, you know, a bit high, but it has not gotten to the margin that we use before we think of increasing our transport fares. You see, when we talk about organizing for transport fares, undisputedly, GPRTU is the largest, you know, transport union that we organize this.
Samuel Amwa is the Deputy Public Relations Officer for the Ghana Private Road Transport Union. Economist Courage Boti says claims by Bank of Ghana Governor Dr. Ernest Addison that the cedi is relatively stabilizing against the dollar is actually a situation on the ground. The governor of the Bank of Ghana at the SME summit argued the local currency is now responding to recent economic developments in the country. But Mr. Boti maintains that a lot more still needs to be done to ensure that the cedi firmly stabilizes against the US dollar.
But you would admit that there, we are still not out of the woods. We've made progress. There are offshoots of recovery, but we are not out of the woods. And the election in particular is a critical test case. We've known our history in election years, especially at the end of a cycle, and how governments go and over and above the board to try to retain power and all that. There has been consistent communication from the finance ministry that this year will be different. And the facts would have to prove that. So far, the evidence over at least the fiscal data we are aware of is that first quarter of the year, we've had a significant revenue shortfall, but we've also seen sharp contraction in expenditure to try to align. But even that primary balance, which is now the fiscal anchor, was about 0.7% of GDP versus a 0.2% of GDP target. So the test case would be what the half-year review will turn out, how we have compensated for the revenue loss in the first quarter, and how the fiscal position is looking at half-year, and that can give an indication of what things will look like in the second half.
Courage Boti is an economist and lead research at DCB Capital. Now, the Monetary Policy Committee of the Bank of Ghana will next Tuesday begin meeting to review developments in the economy. The economy would also take decisions that would influence the cost of credit in the country in terms of setting a new policy rate. The meeting would end on July 26 and announce a new decision of the policy rate on July 29, 2024. Now, cocoa board could soon be asked by government to stop financing cocoa roads as well as the fertilizer program. Now, this is part of several measures that government has submitted to the IMF aimed at turning around the institution. It is also part of a broader move to restructure the finances of some state institutions. There will also be a rationalization of cost, including staffing, industry and financial cost based on financial review of cocoa board's department and subsidiaries. Meanwhile, financial consultant Joe Jackson has described the move as in the right direction.
Cocoa has always been a mainstay of our currency, the cedi. And some of the challenges we are facing with the devaluation of the cedi against the dollar, just simply because this year the cocoa crop collapsed and cocoa board had been turned into a political plaything rather than a key component of the success of this economy and this country. Look at the number of employees that were recruited. Productive is that organization. And remember that cocoa board, in fact, from time immemorial, cocoa board was even under the Ministry of Finance because of its own peculiar role. In the last few years, cocoa board has been put under Ministry of Agri. No attention paid to it, mismanaged. No, the people of Ghana deserve better. The people of Ghana need cocoa board to work better. Our country was built on cocoa.
Joe Jackson is a financial consultant. Now, some businesses say they are cautiously optimistic about the economic outlook despite progress being made under the IMF program. Now, latest report from the IMF shows that the country is now showing signs of recovery. However, most businesses say they have not actually been convinced by things changing that quickly in the coming months. Let's hear from Tony Otinges. He is board chairman of Tropical Cables and Conductors.
Business requires macro stability, so exchange rates, interest rates, so that we can plan. So if we have the macro stability required and we are not going to get any major shocks, most of the indices are trending in the right direction. We see interest rates coming down. We see exchange rate relatively unchanged and hope that it will even improve, you know. Then it means that we can plan for the second half of the year and see how best we should go about putting in proper efforts to make the year a good year.
Tony Otinges is the chairman of Tropical Cables and Conductors. And events tonight on PM Express, I'll be engaging economist, that is Dr. Ishmael Yamson, on the economic recovery. Are we actually on track? What about election-related spending? And how can we assure that there is some fiscal prudence during the last 3 months of the year? That is the fear or the concern that many people have that things could get out of hand. Get some thought from him at 9 p.m. on Joy News and all our social media
channels. That is Dr. Ishmael Yamson, the economist, and also the former boss at Unilever Ghana.
Thank you very much, George. We look forward to that. It's 9 p.m. and it's also across our many social media platforms. This is Newsnight.
Ajay. Couldn't sleep at night. Mosquitoes will be whining my ears. Bugging me all night long. Till I got a remedy. Now I'll be spraying them away with holy insecticide spray. Here I go spray them away.
Mosquito Quell, Holy Multi-Purpose Insecticide Spray, Ghana Chrome Chrome. For bulk purchase, call 0302-681582. This advert is FDA approved.
Auntie T, I beg, fix me gobetete Ghana. No gari, no oil, no plantain, just beans then eggs.
Hey, bruh, that be dangerous combination, no.
Problem no day, I fit handle
for Telecel, with the bob say, everybody gets what they like. That be why Made For Me Bundles Day. Based on your usage, you get your own data and call packages. Fala! Made For Me, bundles like the way you dey want them. That's *530#, then buy Made For Me bundles today.
Telecel, connecting energies.
You're so live, your news night is on Joy 99.7 FM. This is So Your Election Headquarters. It's brought to you by Petrosol Clean Fuel in full quantity, SEMA, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, AICPA, and SEMA, together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, Chopbox Technologies, a convenient service, Youth Breed Foundation, bridging gaps for positive youth development. Well, as you know, the campaign season is up and running. We have JM John Dramani Mahama, the flag bearer for the NDC, touring the Greater Accra region today. We have the Vice President who has been touring the Northern Regions, just joining us right now, the Director of Communications for the Vice President's campaign, Miracles Abuaje, is on the line with us. Miracles, where's the Vice President been, and what has been his message?
Thank you, Evan. So the Vice President has been in the Northern Regions. In fact, the day after the outdooring of the running mates, we went straight to the Northeast Region. And we visited constituencies in the Northeast region. He's done constituencies in the Northern region and then some part of Savannah region. He currently is in Accra to be part of the cabinet meetings that are ongoing currently. But his message has been very simple. Ghana has achieved a lot of successes in the past 8 years, but we have similar challenges or almost equal number of challenges to be dealt with. And he's got a view that that is what leadership is all about. Leadership is about fixing challenges, helping to improve the lives of the people, and giving the people clarity in terms of the way forward going into the future. And so he's promising consolidating the gains we have made and protecting the successes whilst working with the people in getting bold solutions for the future. And he believes that he is the man that should be trusted and can be trusted by the people to work together with the citizens of this country in getting us to where we are as far today.
Is this message resonating with the people considering the current economic hardship?
Absolutely. I mean, the people have a choice to make between Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia and former President Mahama. And so they look at the issues, they look at the scenarios, and they realize that in as much as we have challenges in some part of our macroeconomic indicators, we have some strong successes in other parts of the economy and other sectors where they believe that we must protect it. And in doing that, you need a leader you can trust, a leader you can have confidence in to deliver. The record of the former president, the alternative, is completely abysmal. In fact, if you look at the macroeconomic indicators he met in the year 2012, when he became president between 2013 and 2016, not even a single of these macroeconomic indicators were improved. In fact, they all went down. Inflation moved from 18 to 15. And so they asked themselves, if we have a difficulty in our inflation, between these two people, who can we trust to bring it down? The one who obviously has a record of being president and moving our inflation from bad to worse, or the vice president that we are counting on to trust to take us out of these difficulties. And it's a very easy choice. And Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia is the choice for the people.
And that, you say, is an easy choice, but he has a record himself as a chair of the economic management team. These challenges we talk of, and which Fitch Solutions has today cited as a reason why they predict that the NDC will win this year's elections, fundamentally something that he's been supervising.
So if you have an economy which was completely on a right path between 2017 and 2020, where the inflation that the former president took to 15 was brought down to as low as 8%, and then you encounter a global challenge that everybody without doubt acknowledges, and your inflation went all the way to 54, and you've managed to work on it, and it's coming all the way to 23, and still coming down. Clearly, the people are asking themselves a very simple question. Who has a record of being able to bring our macroeconomic indicators to an improved position as against the other? If you move our macroeconomic indicators from bad to worse, and somebody manages to bring it from worse to the path of progress, clearly, the scorecard is quite clear. It is not as if the people are going to vote and say that, well, we are voting for John Mahama because MPP is supposed to do 10 and they've done 8. The people are saying that MPP is supposed to be doing 10, they've done 8, but the alternative, which is former President Mahama, who was also supposed to do 10, did 3. And so that is what is informing the decision. And clearly, Evans, without doubt, the record of the former president is abysmal. The record shows that every single macroeconomic indicator he touched or he met, he moved it from bad to worse. And that is something that is very important to the decision making.
Fitch says you lose elections on December 7. How is the campaign responding to that?
We will see about that on 7 December. Ours is to make sure that we give the Ghanaian voter a strong reason to vote for Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia and the MPP. We believe that between now and December is practically almost about 4 or 5 months. In politics, 4 or 5 months is a long time. And again, I ask myself this question. I don't know if you have the answer. Which month did Fitch actually question their respondents and gather this data? It makes a lot of difference. Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia has been campaigning barely 2 months ago, and a lot of things have improved and changed in terms of our political fortunes within the period. Maybe Fitch should come out with their next report and we'll see.
And that there is Miracles Obwaju, and I want to hear your thoughts on the campaigning so far and the messages you're hearing from both sides. Share with me your thoughts, 055-111-1997. We can do some sports now, and Musbao is here with the latest.
Yeah, hello, Evans. We're just some 7 days to the start of the Olympic Games in Paris, France, and Ghana's Olympic team is based in Strasbourg. They've been ramping up preparation for the competition. Well, they've also been speaking about the objectives, and they said they cannot guarantee winning any medals for the country in the Olympic Games. Now, the media officer, Benjamin Willie Graham, has been speaking to Joy Sports, and he says the team, despite intensifying preparations for the Games, will not set unrealistic targets for themselves.
Speaking to the flag bearer, he makes it clear, Joseph Paul makes it clear that, listen, we don't want to put ourselves under any, pressure. We're just going into the competition to enjoy. And of course, we also understand we need to, perform. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing that is stopping them from performing. But then they're not going to set unrealistic targets for themselves, but they're going to take, the entire process one day at a time. And then when they get there, they believe that they can do it.
That's Benjamin Willie Graham, the press attaché to Ghana's Olympic team currently in France. Well, to the Afro Sports Summit, which is in its second day. And today it was a conversation about life after football. And on that very subject, former Black Stars player Tony Baffo has been advising current players to take their life after football very serious. Well, he's emphasized the need for education to prepare them for a better life after their career.
My father also told me it's the end result which counts. We can start with driving a Porsche, a Mercedes, and everything, but can you have the same life after football? What I want to tell you is you can study. If you have the time to be on Instagram for 2 hours, you can dedicate 1 or 2 hours per week also to do online studies. And that's what I'm encouraging the footballers of today to do. You have that time. Don't wait until you finish. Do it during your career. So let me tell you, education, discipline, focus, perseverance was the key for me.
Yeah, that's Anthony Baffo there speaking at the Afro Sports Summit underway at the Accra International Conference Center. Evans, that's it for sports.
Thank you very much, Musbao. A few of your messages now on the politics and the campaigning. Sena says majority of Ghanaians know that the MPP government has destroyed the economy in this country since former President John Mahama left office. Nana Ekwama Boateng says John Mahama should make no mistake in believing that Ghanaians will vote for him in December's elections. He is yet to even announce any innovative policy that will inspire confidence in the electorate, except that deceitful 24-hour economy, which he himself cannot explain. And another one on the subject of what has been happening across the country and the politics. This is from Comrade Issa in Boko. Says the recent poll results are clear indication that it's time for Ghanaians to join the winning team, as aptly put by former President John Ajogun Kufo. I would be a messenger in the ruling party than a leader in the opposition party. John and Jane are the best pair, he says. And Abochi Philip from Keita says, although research is ongoing about the upcoming election, I want to urge, he says, all the MPP members should remain focused, he says. And a few of your messages there on our WhatsApp console. Now, the local government minister, Martin Eje Mensah-Khosa, has ordered contractors working on the Marlin Market to redo parts of the facility following concerns they did a shoddy work and use inferior materials during construction of the particular facility. He's been touring the Greater Accra region. Rejoice Semefa Besu has more.
When the minister and his team visited the Marlin Market, engineers were completing the finishing touches on the structure, with all sheds already occupied by traders. The office space, crèche and toilet were nearly finished. The minister expressed his dissatisfaction with the structure's appearance and materials used.
I'm sure you saw what has been done and why I was very upset. We think that this work should have come to the end of its life. Unfortunately, the observations done are extremely poor. I wonder how anybody would do this and say it should pass for an inspection. I've asked the chief executive to take action on this. We need to immediately redo virtually everything. The entire thing as it stands there is rejected. I don't think that we should let this pass for expenditure using government money. The finishing is very poor. The materials used, I don't think, are okay. The plastering of the walls are just not properly done. And the ground, as I've said, the entire compound is sinking. There's no proper compacting before the pavement blocks were laid. Government is paid for the right thing to be done. If the person did a shoddy work, it's against them, not government. Government will not bear a personal out of this shoddy work done. It will not happen, not in my ministry. So whoever didn't put a good use of government's money will have to fund money back and do it.
The chief executive officer of NKA Consult, Dr. Andrews Kwabla, who supervised the project, explained the difficulty in compacting the site and disputed the minister's claim that the materials used were of inferior quality.
I think we've all seen the quality of work. This has been a very difficult site. To begin with, it was a marshy area that had been recovered. The recovery was done before we came, and they used refuse. So you're having decomposition of the refuse down there, and on top of which we put a gravel cap, and then we put up the buildings and the structures. So we are having problems with some level of settlement, and that has created some of the cracks and uneven levels that we've seen. So as you could see here, there was a lot of rework going on as we came. We perform tests on our materials. So you may see a material that may not look good to you, but depending on the lab test results, you then can conclude definitely that they are not good enough.
And that report is from the Greater Accra region, where the local government minister has been touring in parts of the capital. I want to take you right now to the Upper West Regional Capital, where businesses there have imposed on themselves a curfew following recent killings there. My colleague Rafiq Salam has more.
It appears the bustling city of Wa is gradually turning into a ghost town. It appears the city is under siege by unknown criminals and their elements. rose busy during the day but almost empty during the night. The recent murders have dramatically affected the lifestyle of the people. 17 persons have been murdered in the municipality in 3 years, allegedly for ritual purposes. Residents for the past few days now live in constant fear, affecting all facets of their lives. The business community, pubs, restaurants, and bars now closes earlier than before. Apa's regional chairman of Drinking Bars Association and chief executive officer of the Guys Hub, James Suntakugwe, is deeply worried about the issue.
My operations depend on the customer. It's the customers who close us. As much as the customers are around, we are with them sometimes 2 a.m., sometimes 3 a.m., even sometimes we go home at 4 a.m. But recently, you can count on us around 11 p.m., 12 o'clock a.m., then we begin to pack.
He called on the police and the military to intensify their patrols to safeguard the security of the people.
Last year, killings, there was security patrols everywhere. Sometimes they have to even come and park their cars around some of us where we operate. And they even move into the interior with their motorbikes or they walk. But this time, we hardly see them. They still come around, but they were not so prone like they used to be earlier.
Nightside operations are also closing earlier than before. They told me they have fears for their life because of what is happening in the municipality.
It's affecting us because some of the vehicles that always come from down south to here, they come around midnight. And we are the people that always pick them to their destinations. But due to what that is happening, we don't always work in the night.
The tricycle operators want the security agencies to be proactive and inform the public about persons arrested since the incident started 3 years ago. Reporting for Dre News, Rafik Salam.
And Tahiru Isaku Mumin is the MC for WA, joins us right now. In spite of the military and police presence on the ground there, you just heard that people are still very concerned. What else are you doing to reassure those that still have concerns about insecurity?
Well, thank you very much. This situation is a worrying situation for us. And in fact, we have been taken by surprise what has happened again. But as a Municipal Security Council, we've engaged ourselves and then revised the security strategy within the municipality to include volunteers from the various electoral areas in the municipality. We have the watch committee established, accredited by the police, and they are going around the various electoral areas and other vantage points day and night. Besides the watch committees, we also have a joint police and military patrol day and night, at least to support the security situation within the municipality. So this, it has started about 3 years ago, but it's a new thing, you know, and the modus operandi and the situation seem to be different. If you look at what happens initially, the first year and the second year, body parts of these people were taken. But this recent ones, you only see the person slaughtered, but no part of the person is taken. And that made everybody confused with regards to what the motive is. But as has been the general perception of many people, these killings have something to do with ritual murder.
And thank you very much, Tahiru Isahaku Mumin, the MC for WA, deploying community watchdogs now, working with the community on the back of the killings we've seen in the Upper West Regional Capital, together with the heavy deployment of military and police still on the ground there. If you are in that part of the country, please stay safe. This is Newsnight, and you want to stay with us here on Newsnight because we have personality profile for you. And we have a good conversation coming up. His Excellency, Mrs. Nados Bekele Thomas, is the Chief Executive Officer of